Okay, so I'm gonna open in prayer, correct?
Yes.
And then I didn't have anyone let me know if they wanted to share anything, so I guess we'll just go right to you, Triland, and
Okay.
we'll go from there, I guess.
Fine.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for service this morning, for the word that we were able to hear, for knowing that we work through you, we work for you, and we work with you, that we are guardians because of you. We thank you for the opportunity to be the light, be the worker, be the helper that you need here on earth, but as well as in the realms of the departed. We thank you for the time that we get to spend together. We thank you for the fun we get to have, the laughs we get to share, the moments we get to experience and what we get to talk about. We thank you for opening our hearts. We thank you for protecting us, for the angels that surround us. We mostly thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace, your grace, for your Son, for your Holy Spirit, for the sacrifices the three of you have made, for what you have done from the beginning of time until the end of time. We love you with our whole hearts. We ask that you bless this time together, this discussion, this family hour. We ask that you touch our hearts, hear our hearts, hear our concerns, even if we don't want to talk about them or share them. We thank you again for all that you've given. Help us to enjoy our evenings. Watch over all of us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
you. Hello, everyone. I give you my peace. And I met with Father, and this is what he had to say. My dear family, a hearty greeting to all of you. As you would expect, the service for the departed was an immense success. Billions found grace and were able to move to the realm of their new faith, our new level of faith. Plus, many entered the realm of paradise and are sealed. It was a beautiful day. Thank you for your help and prayers. Please continue to work in eternity. What shall we talk about? Grace? Yes, grace. It is a word that is bantered about, but very few extend it or use it. We live in a judgmental world filled with anger, resentment, and outright vindictiveness. I see this world and the people in it, and I just want to cry. They have all strayed so far away from me. I would like to see each of you extend grace to your family and those other souls that cross your path. To extend grace is to be Christ-like. Within the family, there can be arguments, and sometimes words are said in anger that are not meant to be said. Forgive each other and give grace. I give grace to you. Be the guardians of peace and grace. Think grace before you act or say something. It will change your life and the way you perceive the world. Now, let us talk about this world. It is a mess, and it is extended or expected to get worse. Mankind is poised to destroy each other because they cannot extend grace. Country is fighting country. People are fighting each other, all because of one word, hate. If the world would have more understanding, this would not be the case. I am bringing this to your attention because you are not of this world. You are all new creatures in Christ. Always remember that. You are above the nonsense of this world and the way they think. I have been teaching you all your life that you are different, not so that you would get a swelled head filled with pride and arrogance, but a heart filled with patience, understanding, love, and wait for it, grace. Yes, grace. Grace is now our team's buzzword. I would like all of you to focus on this word. Here is the definition of the word of grace: unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, a virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance, approval, favor, mercy, pardon, a special favor, privilege, disposition, or an act of instance, of kindness, courtesy, or clemency, a temporary exemption, reprieve. God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favor. Grace. Make this word a part of your daily vocabulary. When you act on something, act by grace. When you serve, serve out of grace. Be the soul I know you can be. Know that your father, brother, and HS love you very much. Anybody have any questions?
At least the new buzzword isn't soon anymore.
Yes. Very good point. That word would be offensive.
So you know what's interesting about that word soon? It's used a lot in the Chosen series.
Yes.
It's funny. Makes us feel. There you go.
I know that Trisus has something to share with us.
Yeah.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, my head is starting to pound, so I'll read it. It's weird how it's starting to pound right when I'm trying to read this. Do you remember a couple years ago we had to destroy evil souls? Souls that became minions of Satan, and how, well, personally, it was difficult to kill human beings. Evil is one thing, demons and spirits are one thing, but to kill a soul, that just, it hurts me. They're back. I'm going to read what I've sent, because it's just easier than me trying to stumble through my words here with my headache. So a couple Sundays ago, Andrew was working with me, Akos, because I was feeling quite fatigued and in pain. I've been treated for vertigo and for a sinus infection the last month. That's why the staff has to lift me out of my chair at night. I can't stand, I'm just so weak. But he was doing his regular pogging and, you know, going through my chakras, and he found souls attacking my heart, not just my chakra, but my physical heart. I felt like the reason why I was sent to the hospital was that they thought I was having a heart attack. The EKG was off. And when I got to the hospital, they even thought I was having a heart attack because the enzyme for that tracer, the troponin, was very high. But I wasn't having a heart attack. After 4 days in the hospital, they sent me home. But this was the Sunday after I got back. And, you know, he said they were in my heart chakra and in my chest. He destroyed them. And what's left that I've had to been working on the last 2 weeks is physically working on the electrical charges of my heart. It's off. If I took an EKG, it would be a little off. And it's very interesting that we have to work on the physical part, but I digress. Father, we thought Father had destroyed them a couple years ago. Andrew's been working on me on and off since. And the reason why this is a problem is that I couldn't feel them. Normally when we feel evil, there's a pressure or a tenseness in our heart. That's the way I try to describe it. I didn't feel anything, nothing. I mean, other than, well, the physical pain, right? Of thinking I was having a heart attack. I have been working with Rick and Lexi, if you recall. On Friday, they came home from shopping, and as they pulled into their parking lot, they felt this pressure. And this is after the fact. I had them describe what they were feeling. And she said it felt like something was in her heart, on her heart, or like tearing at her chest. Rick got out of the car and almost fell to the ground. And he was disoriented. And Lexi kind of grabbed his arm and asked, like, what's going on? Did you trip? And he goes, no, I can't stand. He forced himself to stand up and they went into the apartment and they felt a little bit better. When they text me the day before, they were in a knockdown, drag out fight. Like they were getting ready to punch each other in the face. And that's not their nature. I looked in the space. There was nothing in the apartment. There was nothing in them. But in the parking lot, there were souls. An army of evil souls. Like a freaking army. So I destroyed them. And they started to feel better. Now, I asked them yesterday and today, how are you feeling? They go, there's nothing. We're not feeling any of that. Back to 2 weeks after Andrew cleared me, I went to Father and I said, what the hey? What is going on? And he was, and I'm going to use a word that he would never use, pissed off. He slammed his fist on the throne and said, bring him here, meaning Satan. And two angels had Satan in the throne room. And he goes, you broke our covenant. I'm destroying a third of your forces right now. And if you do this again and you break the covenant and create more evil souls, I'll take three-fourths of what's left. And I'll continue to destroy whatever you have. Of course, now Satan's upset at me. Whatever. I don't care. I didn't do it. But he got caught. So come back now to just this week. And I asked Father, I said, what are we doing? How can we fight against this evil? And he said, you know how to fight it. You're just going to fight it and you're going to destroy it like you've been doing, like the others have been doing. And I asked my lead specifically, what is the feeling? And he says, that feeling in your heart or in your chest that's burning. That is the telltale sign. And I had just sent an email this morning to Triland. I was hesitating because I don't even know what to tell everybody. How do we do this? But he insisted I shared with this with you. Father created a special realm for these souls. So he's bringing some of them back. He's recreating them at his, not whim, but discretion, I guess is the best word. And he's not forgiven them. He's very angry with them. Because of the choices they made. He goes, again, these are not innocent souls. These are souls that serve Satan. And their specific goal was to hurt the guardians and to hurt the bride of Christ. I will decide what to do with them. But that's not your business. You destroy them when you find them, and I will decide what to do after the fact. So I'm looking at my notes here. I asked Father, why is this happening? And he said, Satan is getting desperate and was trying any measure and any means at his disposal to disrupt the team and to disrupt the lives directly. So during that time that evil was bound, Satan was just having a heyday. He was just flitting all over the place in delight. And this was his idea of, you know, tipping the scales back into his favor, I guess.
Favor.
Yeah, thank you. His favor. And I told Lexi, because she and Rick, I've been working with them. She has nightmares continually. She sleeps even and has nightmares while she naps. So I contacted Trilin and he sent Pinnacle Angels to protect their property. And she's still having nightmares, but not so much. That's why this is such a weird thing. So I postulated and I put an email to Trilant. Maybe Satan has got sleeper cells of these evil souls stowed away and ready to attack us whenever. I don't know if, you know, sleeper cells, you know, they're basically, they look like citizens and they attack the country from within. I'm postulating that. I don't get it. I'm not gotten a read from my leader, from Father, but this is, in my opinion, I don't know. And Father has been tight-lipped about it. His words were, you just destroy them when you find them. So the only thing I can deduce is that we're going to have to, this is another new evil, not a new evil, but another thing we're going to have to deal with. And it's vicious. This, if you've never been attacked by a soul, It hurts. Like it physically hurts. And I was sitting there in the front of the building, literally slumped over like this in my chair. And normally I can pull back, but I couldn't. And that's when I contacted Andrew. I'm like, dude, you gotta something, please. And that's when he couldn't believe it. He could not. I mean, he's texting me, and I'm using dictation. He's using dictation, and so it's getting our real words. It's like, dude, oh my gosh. Do you know, like, what do we do? And of course, we do what guardians do. We destroy the evil. But, I said, even though it hurts, we're going to have to do what we have to do because we have to protect the bride. And again, I don't have any conclusion other than that, folks. I'm at a loss for coming up with, hey, we need to do this. Like, unlike with the Satanists, we've come up with a method. This, I. Kill him. If you see him, kill him. And if you feel him, kill him. And if you have any doubt to what it is, kill him. Because they'll come at you like, I hate to use analogies of zombies, but it's like that when you see in the movies and they just come running at you and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed and you can physically feel because their energy, that's what is, I think, is how why it's so hurtful is that their energy is in our energy. Whereas evil is around us, these souls are getting into my space. They were in me. And once he pogged me and got rid of them, I felt immediate relief. The pain was gone. With evil, sometimes it kind of lingers and you have to work through it. And if you're sad, you have to meditate. No, when the souls are dead, the pain is gone. So maybe I guess that's the conclusion to the end. Does anybody have any questions or comments, or I don't know. I'm at a loss, guys. I have no idea.
It's okay. I need everybody to just be on their guard. If your heart starts hurting like he's describing, then you need to start looking around to see what you see and then just pog and kill them. I talked with Jesus for a little bit about this. He said that him and myself will go into that realm of the souls that Father decided to keep, and we will talk with them. As far as the other ones go, Father said they have their own free will. Satan lulled them and lied to them. They knew what they were doing was wrong, and that's why he didn't hesitate to destroy them at that point. But the other souls, he feels that they have a chance to be caught.
Rehabilitated.
Rehabilitated.
Correct. Thank you. Rehabilitated. So Jesus and I will go and talk with them. You folks do not need to go to that realm, okay? Be on the guard. I kind of looked at Father and I said, should I put together a special force and we'll go look across the planet to see what we can see? And he said, no. I honestly think, my dear friends, Father's trying to get all of us back where we need to be to get ready for some of the most heinous stuff that's going to happen. And as bad as this is, I think there's other things on a spiritual sense that we haven't experienced yet, and we shouldn't be surprised. But if we're not ready and aware, then we're going to get blindsided again. I mean, we all kind of let our guard down. I'll be honest. I never thought that the souls would come back around, that Father would allow that to happen. And apparently he did. So it broke my heart when I read Trisus's email this morning to the point where I had to just sit in it for an hour and think about it and get emotional about it, that there would be souls that would want to do something like that. But then I think of all the garbage that's going on in this world. There are souls too, causing all this havoc and wreaking all this evil. And I don't know in your congregation if your rector read what the district apostle sent to the district elder in our district about Trump getting an attempted assassination. He didn't go into any detail as far as politics goes, but he made the point that we need to be mindful of extending grace. I mean, that's why Father brought out his message to us, but to not judge, to not get into the garbage that is politics in this world, and to love our neighbor as ourself, which is very difficult to do. But just wanted to throw that back out there.
If you'd like, I can read that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't hear it this morning.
Real quick, Trisus, did you get the feeling that Satan was recruiting these souls because his minions were bound?
I get that impression, yeah. Because for 3 months of our time, I mean, for him, that's nothing, but he couldn't
Right.
affect anybody other than with whatever evil was bound in their space. You know, so I'm guessing, again, I'm surmising, Father's not being any open more than, you know,
normal.
Deal with it, right? Again, I don't know why. It's a learning moment, but I'm not being told no. So if I come up with an opinion and I pause and Father doesn't do anything, I'm going to just assume that what came across my heart is what he wants me to think.
Yeah.
In this case, yes, he had no one to do his evil, so he turned souls against us.
One quick recommendation for the lady that you're working with that has the nightmares. When Aerostar and I worked with Tom, we had to go through each chakra, and we found hidden souls in every single chakra we had to remove, especially in the
souls
center of
his mind. The chakras.
Yes, sir. And in the center of his mind, like where his house was at, we had to pull the house up, and they were underneath the house. I mean, they were buried everywhere. So.
Okay. All right. I will add notes to her file and I will contact her after the meeting then. Sorry, I'm typing. I'm not ignoring you. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
I will do that.
So if you like, I can share. So our district elder last evening sent a text to all of us. He tried to get a hold of our apostle, and he couldn't. Our apostle is on vacation, not available. And the district apostle was in Colombia. And so he reached out directly to him after the assassination attempt. And he just must have felt that, you know, we needed some guidance there. Because, you know, you think about that. You look at how angry the people were, for sure, you know. And the person who did it, they were evidently angry too. And just like there's so much discord. So so he wrote back and he stated, the district apostle Schnabel stated, I think that we should acknowledge that there are forces at work that will stop at nothing to sow discord and division. We can either be part of the problem, contributing to the sin and unrest, or be part of the solution. The latter requires us to follow the Lord and ask him for help to quell these forces. But the way of Christ is to forgive, do not judge, and provide for our neighbor. Now, this is a sentence that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
He froze. Is he frozen for everybody?
Yeah, he's frozen for us too.
He went black.
Crap.
Be patient. Stick to it.
Hang on, you froze. We didn't get any of that where you said, this just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Now is the time to do that more in patience rather than take a time out. So in other words, we need to be diligent and patient and keep going and not say, I can't deal with this. I mean, that's the way I gather that. And then our district apostle is making an 8-part series, video series, where he's talking about politics and the church. And so he's referencing that here. He says, these politics messages were meant to be the light in keeping us as a force of peace. So he's helping us to understand how we can be like Jesus and be a force of peace in that light. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then a
no,
few
that
people.
Sentence that you wrote.
Say that again?
That sentence you read. That sentence you read makes sense, meaning don't give up. push with patience, like continue actively being patient. I get that because I've done it before where I'm like, whatever, I'm done. And then 10 minutes later, I'm asking for forgiveness and, you know, trying again, right?
Patience is also the hardest thing for everyone to deal with.
Exercise.
Yeah, however you want. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the fact that it's not give up and receive my peace or my grace, it's don't give up and you have to have patience, which is something that none of us ask for because we know what happens when we do.
But also patience, whenever you hear the word patience, is when you're in distress.
Yeah.
Right? So like when you're dealing with the situation, usually, you know, like what my wife or my mom will go, Jerry, you need to have patience. Well, I'm upset. I'm angry. Yeah. I've got this thing going on right now. And you hear, you need to be patient. You need to have grace, right? So you have to really like, okay, all right, I need to calm and come down and allow myself the situation to visualize the situation in its real self. Is it that bad, right? And then when you step back from it, you're able to see, okay, all right, here comes patience, here comes grace, right? Because when we are in distress, we don't hear about patience. We don't want to hear about grace, right? We don't want to hear about forgiveness. I'm bothered. I'm trialed right now. I'm in my stuff, right? So that's where we have to really, you know, what the district apostle mentioned, you know, we got that text as well from our district leader. And in the subflashes that the district apostle is really working on the ministers to go, okay, you need to have patience, regardless of what side you sit on, right? And so patience, fruit of the spirit, and so we have to work it.
In that same vein, I thought how profound it was that our service this morning served about the Apostle Paul. And I thought it was kind of, I thought this was funny. I probably shouldn't have viewed it this way, that when Paul got stoned, he played possum and they dragged him outside of the city thinking that he was dead. And then his disciples came and got him and he sprung up and he was fine. He didn't give up. And I think that's what Father is asking from all of us. We just can't give up. And I'm sorry if I'm making a joke.
Sorry, that is funny.
You know, if you think about it, you know, they thought he was dead. He was just playing that he was, just to save his life. And then he goes right back into the same city that they stoned him in, and he keeps talking about the truth. And if we stay in the truth, we can't be wrong. And that's what Father wants from you and I, to continue on, to keep working, to not give up, to not get discouraged. And the biggest thing that I think our evangelist said this morning is that we need to be atypical when it comes to politics. We don't pick any sides. I mean, you can as yourself, but as the church, we don't. We stay in the vein of Father. We talk about our faith. This world is there, yes, but it is not what governs you and I. When we boil everything down, it's Father's will. And he has given you and I a great assignment, a great privilege, I said to him, to serve him in this capacity. And we just need to keep going. And I know that sometimes, I speak for myself, we get distracted. Life gets in the way, the job gets in the way, family gets in the way, and then we come up with a million excuses as to why we couldn't do something. And Paul didn't use an excuse. Jesus never used an excuse. We can't use any excuses. And I'm admonishing everybody to get back to work, to do something, whether that's in eternity or whether that's here cleaning countries. I will give Trisus kudos because in spite of his situation, he continues to clean countries constantly. So it's not just for him. It's not just for me to be doing those things. If you feel you want to be a part of that, please do. If you think that you can be serving someplace else, please do that. I just need you to be serving in some capacity, okay? Thank you. Choir.
Yeah. Choir.
And the most important thing is that we profess Christ.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Barnabas and Paul did, right? They went through that circumstance. They're like, oh, you guys are gods. No. We are professors or ambassadors of Christ. We profess Christ. And not only does that responsibility fall upon the apostles, it falls upon each and every living Christian to profess Christ. You know, I am for the party of Christ. That's the one that I am subscribing to. You know, I'm not going to emperors, kings, presidents, governors, all have come and gone. Princes, dukes, all have come and gone. But Jesus Christ is the only one, the only king that we need to support and profess. That's it.
In this same kind of vein with patience, you know, we think about, obviously, Father is the pinnacle of patience, right? I mean, he had patience enough to watch his son die. So I always think about that when patience starts testing me and thinking about just what he did and what he gave. And to that point, real quick, I just had something that I had experienced in a discussion was this week was that, you know, people had asked, you know, how can you believe in a God that allows bad things to happen to people, that allows people to be abused, like young kids to be abused in whatever fashion? And the response was, well, he knows exactly what abuse is because he allowed his son to go through the worst abuse that could have ever been faced. You know, so he as a father knows what it means to have a child who's abused. He knows what it's like. He knows exactly what you're going through, and you're going through that for a reason. So it just kind of fit in that vein. I wanted to just get that out there. So
thank you.
Anyone have anything else?
One addition to what was being said about the service for today, it's in essence, it's the infinite things matter, the finite things don't. So everything in this world that's finite, and it was even mentioned that the idols come and go. You know, people put people on pedestals for different reasons, and whatever it is, politics or entertainment. This world is finite, and if people are giving their all to the finite, you know, they're so concerned, they give so much of their themselves and everything they have to whatever it is in this world. And the infinite is where we want to place all of our energy.
It's difficult sometimes to look at the infinite, though. I think that's the problem, is that people's imaginations have gone away. And when I've told people how to meditate and imagine the grounding cord and all that, I'm like, you had an imagination when you were a kid. Just think of it that way. And the infinite is something that I think goes away as adults get older, because they have to deal with the finite, right? We don't want to think about the infinite.
And again, I guess I want to make sure that I was clear there, because we aren't always, you know, in the ethereal.
Right.
We're grounded. We're here. We're going through our life, and we're realizing that, you know, all of that, this is real and we have to do it. But the most important thing, we don't put all of our eggs in that basket.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Right. Yeah.
It's that we go through our life and we realize that God is with us all the time. And
nuts. He's frozen again.
He was going to make a good point. Internet.
Back around.
You froze.
You froze, Dan.
You froze again.
Make your point.
So
you were right there.
We don't have our head in the clouds but we're looking forward, and everything that's important to us is that.
It's unfortunate, though, that so many don't have that or know that.
Right.
And I guess that's where we come in to try and tell people that. Because, I mean, how many people don't get that, Dan? I mean.
Oh, I know. Well, most in the world, we can see that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and that's scary to think that people don't have that understanding.
But so we also have to show them, like with Father's word, and he's talked about grace.
Right, exactly.
That's a way to show them that there's more to life than this life.
And it's interesting that the way you're saying it is beautiful, because that's the way we should be saying it. I've heard people say to me, I never talk about church at work. Well, I never talk about church at all. You know, I talk about my faith.
Yeah,
right.
And the thing is, when I served in Michiana, it came out this way. And I thought, well, that's so okay. And what was said was, we can only be who we are. And so when we're at work, when I'm at work and something spiritual comes up, I'm there. I'm ready for it, because that's who I am. And then the next thing I said was, and if people can't do that, we should ask ourselves, who are we really?
Mm-hmm.
After I said that, I thought, really? Holy Spirit? Okay. Because we should be that. And so it's not like, you know, we need to go and talk to everybody about our faith. We don't talk about our faith. We talk about our experiences of faith and how we live. And that's totally different than, you know, the way we understood in the past, giving testimony. Yeah, we have living apostles and da-da, you know, all that. It's not about that. It's about how that is the most important thing in our life.
So service in Portage this morning was about Barnabas and Paul. But Evangelist Hiersma really touched on the point of how they did and said the things that they did because they were workers for God. They worked with God. They worked with Jesus. They worked through him, or because of God, they were able to do the things that they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that touched a chord with me, because it's like, that's who we are. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're here, you know, is because we're doing the work he needs us to do for him, through him, with him. And then the evangelist Hiersma asked a question, because he's like, you know, sometimes people ask, well, why do you believe in God? Why do you go to church? And that made me think, because it's like, you can answer with all the simple answers of like, well, because I believe in God, and because of, you know, the faith that I have, or however. But it's like, if you really think about, like, what would your answer be to that question? Why do you go to church? Why do you believe in God?
Because I'm a sinner and I need to be there. That's what I tell them.
Yeah, you are.
About all the,
I need to go because I need it.
But you also think about when someone asks you that, and you want to think about all the ways he's blessed you.
Yeah.
Look where at all the things that he has where done in my life. Be? And where then, you know, then the thought pops in my head, like, why wouldn't I?
Right.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't I be in church? Why wouldn't I believe in him? Even though I can't see him, you believe in the wind. Do you see the wind?
Mm-hmm.
You believe in oxygen. You breathe it every day of your life. Do you believe in that, right? So him being Father, and then having his Son and the Holy Spirit, like, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? I just, right.
In the same
not
vein.
Not everyone sees it that way, though, unfortunately.
That's I know, but that's why they ask you.
Yep.
To stay in the same vein of Atmos, where it's asked, how can you believe in a God that would have such horrible things happen in this world? I flipped it and said to some people, well, how can you not believe in a God who created a planet that you can live on, where there is no other life in this entire universe or anywhere else, or the fact that he created fruit or a plant to sustain you.
He created coffee.
Yes, God bless him who created coffee. No doubt. But for
every morning I thank him and bless the man in eternity that looked at that plant and went, huh, I should do something with that.
Well, we call it the Lord's nectar. But I had an experience I wanted to share the week of preparatory, in between preparatory service for the departed and service for the departed. I was going into different realms, and Jesus would tell me where we were going, and he would tell me that I just need you to stand there, and I don't need you to do anything, and that's out of my, I can't do that. So I would do stuff, and he would look at me and go, can you not just stand there and do nothing? And I said, no, I cannot. And he went, well, that's why I love you, brother, because you always know what to do in every situation. So he takes me to this realm one morning, and I looked at him and I said, well, where are we? He goes, that does not matter. I said, okay. He goes, just stand there. So I stood there. Well, then I couldn't just stand there. So I had to pog, and I had to illuminate the entire realm, and I had to look around, and then I had to extend an invitation, and then I had to tell them how much I love them, and I had to tell them how much Father loves them, and that they can find grace if they ask him for forgiveness, and that they can forgive the people who hurt them and all that stuff. And he just kind of looked at me, and I went, I got to be me. Okay, got to be me. So we left there. And then 2 days later, Fred sends me a text about some archaeologists that uncovered tombs, about 300 to 400 of them from 1,000 years ago. And Fred was like, maybe you can go pray for these souls, visit these souls. And before I could respond back to him, Jesus said to me, and that's where you were.
Wow.
Cool.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
I was going to say, I have the same problem. Just walk through the realm, smile, maybe wave, and that's it. And I'm sorry. Hi, how are you? I'm a warrior. There's grace available. And I get this look from my lead, and he's like, I'm like, you know, it's
got to be you.
My lead has got a flat forehead from constantly, you know, but no, honestly, how can you not expound God's grace when you're in a realm where they can't even bother to stand up and look because they have no hope?
Yes.
And he said, that's not your job. Your job is to light up the realm so they wonder, what was that? That's your, I went, I'm a lure? And he goes, well.
You're a lamp.
Yeah. He goes, not a lure, but you're there. You are. You're there to light up. And that it piques their curiosity. And then when the emissaries come, they'll say, did you see that light? I'm like, oh, all right, that's better. I'm more than a lure.
You're a tool.
I'm a
tool. Oh. Yeah, you're a tool.
Yeah.
I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed. Isn't that a line?
Tools.
You're not the brightest crayon in the box, but you're a pretty color.
Let me tell you, I want to go back to when the discussion of why would you believe in God? I wasn't in church for 5 years. It didn't feel like I was gone for 5 years, but I didn't like me. And when I came back, it took a really long, hard time for me to get back to where I liked me. And when people ask me here, well, why do you watch church? I mean, you're handicapped. He's not helping you. Like, you wouldn't like me when I'm not going to church. I'm this way because he is my grace. I am this way because of what he's doing for me. What you see is him. And I'm happy. And I'm what? So I get what?
Well, have you watched The Chosen?
You know, Fred keeps bugging me to watch it, and it's I've got
you gotta
I've
been watch so, it, man.
Who's so good?
Who's the one of his apostles that has the
Philip
James? I thought it was.
No, it's the one that has the bumping stick.
Yeah,
Little James.
And Little James has I don't know what he has, but he's got some type of
handy
muscular. Anyways. But he battles it, and he is all the time, but he is there. He is following. He is walking.
All right.
He is never
giving up. I'll
put it
on my list.
And he asks Jesus why he didn't heal him yet. And Jesus gives him one of the most profound answers.
Don't tell me.
I'm not
telling
you. You have got to watch it.
You got to watch
it. Okay, I'll watch it.
Who's watched the fourth season? Has anybody watched the fourth season? Have you watched it to the end?
We started, but I haven't had a chance.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, everybody knows the story where he raises Lazarus from the dead, correct? We all know this story. Mm-hmm. So we watched the fourth season. Well, yesterday I meditated because I was told to. This week I had to do it twice. Anyways, so, but the reason why I had to do it twice is because I was starting more of my training, because I do a lot more work in the realms than I do, like, clearing out countries. And
that's fine.
I've only killed, before yesterday, I only killed one demon. Like, I'm still working on that whole battle thing.
Still a rookie.
Baby.
Yeah, basically. Yesterday, when I meditated, it was the first time that I was going with Jesus to the realm of the forgotten. And he took me there once before, but it was just a brief moment. And this realm is so black and so dark that it's darker than when you can't see your hand in front of your face. Like, it is just, wow. And we were there for a split second. And while we were there, the amount of demons that just came after us blew my mind. So we went back yesterday. I had Jesus, two light brigade armies. And then I was surrounded by my angels, as well as my, archangel. So we go into this realm. And, of course, Jesus is a bright light, and, I have my pog staff and my sword and my chest plate on, which lights up like a star. And we get in there and it's just a constant. And there were some that were crawling on the ground that, I mean, I've never seen things like this before in my life. And there were giant ones that took me and all of my angels to take down. But as we were going through, Jesus stood there and he screamed, not in a mean way, but he was literally yelling for souls. Hear me, see us, feel me, come to me. And he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I stood there, you guys, and I looked at him. And I was in complete awe of who I was with. And at that moment, I felt exactly what his apostles did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I just looked at him, and he came up to me, and he just put his arms around me, and he said, it's okay. You can keep going. You have to keep going. And he goes, I get it. And I said, but you don't, because you are Jesus. Like, and I looked at him and I said, thank you. Thank you for bringing me to this point, for giving me the ability to see the work that I can do, to be with you, to help. Anything that I can do. And he said, I need you to slam your staff on the ground. So I did. When I do that, Pog comes out. And I pogged and I would kill thousands of demons. And as that would happen, these people would come crawling into the light. And they had chains bound to their ankles. And those chains were attached to demons. And the light brigade would break the chains and kill the demons. And we kept going for hours. And I was exhausted. And I've never experienced that.
Hours? Wow.
And I I mean, and every time, I think we got about 30 souls. And he stayed with the Light Brigade, and he said, I'm going to stay and talk to them. And he said, you will come back, and we will do this again. But it was so dark. I mean, I have never experienced that in my life. But the biggest thing was to see and feel him and watch what he did so long ago and what all those apostles got to feel. And then today was about Barnabas and Paul. And yeah, so there you go.
Grab your Kleenex, sister.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thanks for sharing. My Thank goodness. You. I wanted to share one other thing. Akos reminded me. Father gave me a special shield that is from head to toe. And when I, quote unquote, activate it, it's extra protection around me to keep the souls from glomming on me. I don't know if maybe y'all can ask for one of those next time you see Father.
Father just said, and that's a gift, and others can come and get one.
Okay. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's different than our regular shield. It's the power is different. It's, you know, of course we call it power of God, POG, POG. This is, it feels directly like it's God with me. Like it feels like he's got his hands. I can't put my hands up, but like, it feels like when I activate it, it goes like, and I feel nothing. So ask for one. Mine's red, you know, crimson, but you can get it any color.
One size fits all.
I would get one that fits you. Mine's huge. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm a large man, so I got like a 4X shield.
For the full figured trices.
I almost used my name on Friday. I almost yelled that out when I rolled into the room. Yeah. Wouldn't that have been funny? Who?
Hello, you're Prince Trisus. You got a
Prince
crown.
Trisus. Prince Trisus. It Triline, you didn't see I had the crown on earlier. I was like, hey, look what I got. Oh, you did see it? Okay.
We'll see it, yeah.
I got mine. I got no one else got one.
I thought you were being
I do these Zoom princess. Calls. I do Zoom calls with the apostle Fearbach and Klein, and I still have Blazar on there. I gotta change this.
Yeah,
I've done it for a couple months without noticing, just jumping on.
All you gotta do is tell him it's my nickname from God,
right? Because you're a trail setter.
That's right.
On my Capital One is Trisus 411. You know, and I get emails to Trisus on my Gmail. I kind of freak out like, what? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Trisus, your account is payment is coming up. Huh?
You have to pay for that shield.
Yeah. The 4X shield has got payments.
Father said there's only rentals.
Oh, all right.
Hey, real quick, one thing I wanted to just ask was, growing up, for those of us, I think that is the majority of us that grew up in the faith, you're born, baptized, and raised in, whether you were in a different faith before you became New Apostolic or just always New Apostolic.
And sealed.
When was that aha moment? Does anybody have any stories about that aha moment where they're like, I believe in God? Because you hear about people who hear about God and Jesus, and then they're like, I came to Jesus and I believed on this date, and it was amazing, and it was this and that, and I feel like I've always lacked that, and I don't know why, because I've never really had that like aha moment. You know what I mean?
Estes Park. Colorado, youth service.
Yes.
I came back on freaking fire.
Yeah, she
I don't even know what it
like
was about that weekend.
Morning. Yeah.
But I came back and it was like, That's it. I'm all in. Oh my gosh. I like, you can ask my parents. I mean, I.
Worse than
between,
normal?
I think between, I mean, yeah. The chief apostle was there. It was chief apostle.
Labor.
Yeah, labor.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he was there. The songs that we sang, the connection between all of us. I mean, it was just, it was all of it. Like, it was a talk about a weekend that shook me to my core.
Yeah.
And I came back and it was it. And then I met Jim and John at a wedding. And then it was all over from there.
You know, I remember we've often talked about this in our small group here that, you know, because there's when you've grown up in the faith, there's a turning point. There always has to be a turning point where you have that moment where you realize, I don't do this because my parents are making me do it anymore. I'm not doing this because I'm worried about, oh, Sandy's not there kind of a thing. You have that moment where it shifts from what your parents' faith was to your own faith. And I think that everybody goes through that very different. You know, some people, it's a very seamless transition from one to the other. And so they don't have that aha moment. It's mm-hmm. just, it shifts. But then there's some people that I think have this big moment. There's some people that actually have to step away in order to figure out if it's for them, if they believe it. And some people step away for a long time. So I don't know that there's necessarily always going to be an aha moment for everybody. I think it's just different for everyone.
Yeah, it's a journey, not a
moment.
Everybody's journey is just different. Yeah, it's a good point.
I did have one. I was at a tri-district service and sitting there in the choir, just the overwhelming feeling of everything going on with the, you know, there was an orchestra and the choir and the service. It was just, it was like a wow, this is where we need to be. It was just one of those things that it was, I don't know if it was really an aha moment or if it was just, but it was a beautiful moment for me. And it just really made me realize what I had and where I needed to be. And it was, you know, I don't remember which tri-district service. I just remember sitting there looking around and feeling that, you know, the importance.
It was when you met me.
Say yes. Say yes. Say yes, dear. Honey.
So instead of sitting right aha there. Moment, I mean, it's basically when we got it, when we realized.
Yeah.
This is real. And so, but that's the same thing. I mean, some people it's like, you know, that is aha, but it's when you realize it's real.
Right.
That you want to do this forever. This is
where we belong, who we are.
Yeah.
I asked a question because I often question things. It's just the way my mind works. And
it's a good question.
It makes me mad sometimes because I'm like, why am I questioning this? Because of all the things that have happened to me. But at the same time, we've had this discussion, I'm sure, multiple times, but this one really hit me hard this week. And I just think that there's people out there that, I don't know. It was just tough for me to work my way through because I never felt like I had that aha moment, but it's just been like a continuous gradual build throughout my entire life. So I just was curious what everybody else kind of felt about that.
I think it's when you get excited about your faith and you understand what your faith is in Father. And you don't hesitate to talk about it with anybody.
Right. Can I tell my short little experience?
Sure.
Before I met Dan, I lived in a different state and I moved back home and I said to my dad, I said, did John ever ask you for the Father's blessing? And that's my older brother. And he said, no. I said, can I have it? I did. And he gave me a blessing. And that was my aha moment that, you know, the Lord provided for me to have that blessing.
Nice.
Esau
and Jacob. The question that I have for everyone that had that aha moment, were you alone?
No.
No. You, it's communion.
Sort of. I got a phone call with bad news, but.
You were alone?
I was in my fraternity.
He was
but someone That's called when you.
We found someone out that dad you. Died. Yeah, yeah my someone... grandfather called me. And he never even answered the phone, never talked on the phone, but he called me and told me that dad died. And that wasn't the moment, but it was like a wake-up call, because my first thought was, you effing idiot. You are so selfish. You never went home to see your family, and now you're never going to see dad again. That was my belief, and it was absolutely terrible. But then when I got home, when my brothers basically looked like two priests talking to me in our living room, and it was like,
mine was different. So I was 14, I believe. And so for those of you that don't know, I didn't grow up in this faith. In fact, I had very little experience, I guess, and the experiences that I did have, you know, with going to church and God and Jesus and all that would have been from my grandparents. You know, when I would go stay with them, we send ourselves right on to church every Sunday, the Lutheran church and all that. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was, I didn't know what was being said, but I knew I was being fed what I needed to, you know. So anyway, I had a very strong, connected relationship with my grandparents. And so my grandmother was sick, and
get her tissue.
Tissue. It's a lot. So we were at the hospital, and I knew that so the nurses, the doctors, the things were like, oh, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She was in a heart failure, right? And people kept on saying, oh, at least 6 months, you know, she'll be fine. And I knew, like, I just knew. And so it took about 45 minutes to get from the hospital to our house. And I was in the car, and I remember praying, which I never prayed ever. I prayed my heart out so much that it was like, you know, please don't let her suffer.
You're supposed to get the tissue.
No, hold on. Thailand? No, Ethan just
came home.
And I didn't want it to be loud. So I ended up praying, right? And I was praying that, you know, please don't let her suffer. If you need to take her, whatever. In that moment, I knew. No, I'm fine. In that moment, I knew that she was gone. Like, I looked at the clock. It was 10:14. I know in that very moment, because something inside of me, like, I felt it. By the time we got home, the hospital was already calling saying that she had passed. So with that aha moment, it was, I sat in that time for a very, very long time thinking, holy smokes. One, you know, I was riddled with guilt because I'm like, oh my gosh, did I just kill my grandmother? Like, I just prayed about this. And but in that moment, and I think about it, 14 years old, not necessarily understanding, but I was like, this is so much bigger. He is so much bigger. And I was for years frightened because I saw what he could do, right? Like, he heard me, little old me, and he did whatever he needed to do, right? And it would have happened however it was, but with that moment, I was just like, holy smoke. Like, it was beyond, I couldn't understand. Like, this is so much bigger. And then fast forward all these years, go to different churches, whatever, come into the New Apostolic Church. And then I was sitting there, you know, in a few different services. And then I was just like, huh, like, it all started making sense.
with eternity and, you know, and the realms and all that. So it was like, you know, it was 20 years later. It was like the continuation of the aha moment.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful.
I have to say my kind of aha moment for me was actually growing up in Minnesota. We were such a small congregation, and it was pretty much all my family, all the Deems. And the youth from Chicago would come to Minnesota once a year, usually in June. And at my house, we'd have Jim and John and Liz and about 20 other people all staying at our house for the weekend. And I remember Darcy and I, she was my best friend since I was two, was visiting that summer, and everybody had just left from to head back home. And Darcy and I were sitting in my driveway, and because we were such a small area and it was pretty much all my family, in that moment, Darcy and I said, wow, like, we had this overwhelming feeling of belonging to this amazing family in our faith. And I just remember being completely overwhelmed and thinking, this is the greatest thing ever.
Cool.
Okay. So it's 6:07. But if anyone has anything else they want to share, I don't think any of us mind. And if you do, oh well.
I do. I got one thing to say.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. And this is for Triland. My mom says hi.
Oh, thank you.
She says she loves you.
I love her too.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, let me shoot out the birthdays. July birthdays. Blazar celebrated on the 1st. Chirius was on the 2nd. Jesus is coming up this week, so suck up to him, okay?
Yep.
April birthdays. Fred is on the 1st. Quasar is on the 8th. Starlight.
You said
August?
August.
Not April.
I'm sorry, August birthdays. 8th. Starlight and Aerostar on the 26th, and Lauren Potoff is on the 30th. Our next meeting, I'm sorry, fellowship will be Sunday, August 11th. Back to you.
Okay. What do I do? Do I close? Does someone else close?
You can ask someone else to close.
Tranquility, will you close for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we're so very thankful. First of all, we were able to have our sins forgiven. We could celebrate communion. We could hear your word. But then tonight we could also have a very special fellowship that we know that many other people do not experience. And Father, we do not take that for granted. We are so grateful for those who stood by us through thick and thin, and that we can also be there for them. And we pray, Father, please be with each one of us as the guardians, that we may be able to fulfill our commission and do that which was pleasing in your sight, and also help souls in the beyond and also those who are here on this earth. Please continue to abide with us, Father. We pray that you will grant us a good week, that those who have problems, difficulties, and circumstances, that you will provide clarity. And dearest Father, we're especially moved that we pray for Trisus, that he may receive the care that he needs, and that he will be able to get the wheelchair that he also needs. With you, all things are possible. Please continue to abide with us, Father. Let us be pleasing in your sight, and what we may not now have covered in words, please, Father, cover by your grace. This we pray and ask you most humbly, and in Jesus' name we pray. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Love you.